radio.org. We can be reached by mail at P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Again, P.O. Box 7507, 95061. And applications, more information about Freak Radio, as well as live streaming, is on the Freak Radio website, www.freakradio.org. And the call-in number, again, in case you want to call in and chat or rant or whatever you feel like doing, maybe a little singing would be in order, 427-3772 is our number here in the studio. I'm Robert Norris. Work with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. That's the group you've heard me refer to occasionally on the air, looking for ways of decriminalizing poverty in Santa Cruz so we can all survive while we plod along, or while they plod along. Fahrenheit 9/11 opened up about a week ago, a little bit more than a week ago, about 10 days ago at the Del Mar, and is now also playing out in 41st Avenue. Michael Moore's film attacking the Bush regime, and it's got a few attacks on the Democrats too, although not as many as I might like, about 9/11 and the, just 9/11, about the Iraqi war, the U.S. war of aggression against Iraq. I wandered down with my tape recorder, and this is the result. That was about 4:10 on June 26, 2004, on Saturday afternoon, and near the Del Mar Theater, where I just came out of watching Fahrenheit 9/11. I've been talking to some of the vendors at the political tables in front of the theater. Here's a man selling People's Weekly World. What's your name, sir?
My name? I don't know.
An interesting name. Now, tell me, I don't know, how is
I'm not
this...
selling them, man. I'm giving them away.
You are actually giving away People's Weekly World.
Yeah, man.
And how many have you given away today?
I lost count.
So is it a popular item here, or is, I mean, I know I've seen you at the farmer's market giving these away. Are people interested? Are people stopping to talk to you?
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
And what do you make of this crowd? Is this mostly sort of the converted coming to Fahrenheit 9/11, or you see any Republican Party types in the crowd?
Oh, there's a handful of Republicans, but they most seem like liberal people.
Now, what about the Santa Cruz progressives? Are these people who like to come to movies but don't want to do shit to end the war in any substantive way? Or?
I haven't seen him around, but I'm not the kind of person who follows around and knows what they look like.
No, I mean, the community that's coming to this movie, do you think you see a possibility of a strong anti-war response in terms of action from these folks?
No.
Yeah. There's also been some talk, mostly from me to other people, about starting a vigil here in front of the theater demanding the U.S. get out of Iraq. I'm not sure why we're doing it in front of the theater, except there seem to be sympathizers here and tablers here in the evening. What do you think of that idea?
Makes sense.
Do you think this is likely to continue, these crowds, or is this sort of a one-weekend phenomenon?
I would imagine they would persist for another couple of days anyway.
What about the revolution? When can we expect that?
Oh, 100 years or so.
We've been talking to...
Don.
Thanks, Don. So we're listening in on a Bush button, or I should say an anti-Bush button table. What's your name?
My daughter? Do you know my daughter?
We're hearing a conversation there.
I just didn't know you all looked alike. My name's Bill Strickland from Santa Cruz.
Bill, you're passing on buttons about Bush, I should say, anti-Bush buttons, but you have a real concern about draft laws. You feel people don't know.
It's Kim Fitzmaurice. He's our council member.
Go ahead.
Yes, in Santa Cruz, which usually has very well-informed people, I'm just phenomenally surprised to find out that 9 out of 10 people on the street do not know and are not aware of the two bills in the Congress, one in the House, one in the Senate, that they want to restart the draft as early as June of next year, that $28 million has already been given to the Selective Service System for 2004. I'm going to guess they're not giving them the money because they're not going to do nothing with it. And the fact that our kids don't know, the kids that will be affected and the adults that have kids are not being allowed to vote on the draft. So all we can do, the best we can do, is the fact that since this will not be voted on by Congress until March, is that in the November elections, we want to make darn sure that we only vote for congressional candidates who have stated their anti-draft position, such that if we elect enough anti-draft congressional candidates, we can get across the point that we, as a people, do not want to supply the 175,000 more troops that Rumsfeld is asking for. And yet people can't vote if they don't know about it, and that's what we're here to do, is to talk to people. So we give buttons away.
So people, all your anti-draft buttons have been given away at this moment. I see you have many. Welcome to back of the bus, anti-Bush, Bush lies, not Bush again, got democracy, stop Bush, and so forth. You're aware that Representative Sam, the city council loves him far here in Santa Cruz, has voted for the war appropriation on Tuesday.
Well, he flip-flopped on what he said he was going to do.
Did he in fact say he wasn't going to do that before he did that?
Yes.
Have you been following that?
Yeah, absolutely. On a number of things that he's flip-flopped on.
Well, there you are. Now, what was his position on the draft? What's his position on the draft?
I haven't heard that.
But you're going to find out for us.
I'll ask him myself.
Excellent. I know that Sam tends to respond to pressure. So, for example, when people threaten to sit into his office, suddenly he gets a little more tractable on these issues. He came out against the war appropriation a year ago after some of us came to his office indicating an inclination to stay, though we didn't. And then, of course, 5 years ago when they were bombing Yugoslavia, we twice sat in his office and got arrested, and suddenly he came out for a bombing pause.
Oh my God.
There you have it. So,
what is it that these people... I think the most powerful part of the Fahrenheit 9/11 movie is when not a single senator would sign any of the initiatives about the blacks in Florida that were disenfranchised. Not a single one of our elected representatives
challenging the presidential results in the election of 2000.
And it seems like we have a local version of that.
I thought this was kind of risky, though.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm getting too upset.
Get back to work. You're doing a fine job. Well, you should get upset. It's good you're getting upset. I'm glad you're upset. That motivates you to be out here.
I got my 17-year-old son out here today who's very shy, won't talk to people, and I had him stand here and watch the reaction on the people coming out of that theater. When young guys are crying, when old people are crying, when this hits everybody between the eyes, as it should remind us of the fear, of the things that we need to take action on. And this is non-denominational, non-racial, non-gender or age bias. Bush and this government has offended all of us at all levels, and if we don't wake up to this, we're all in trouble anyway.
You're going to get that U.S. out of Iraq now button pretty fast back
at
the table.
We will create one.
I mean, some people might mistake your table for a pro-Kerry table.
No, that is not.
I see your companion on Vets for Peace has a Kerry button.
He just got that from the two tables down because they swap buttons. So they wore ours. I guess he was obliged to wear one of theirs.
So, that sounds good to me. What do you think of the idea of a vigil down here, which I've been proposing, where different people kind of staff at a different times, where we keep it going, hopefully around the clock, 24 hours?
Very good idea. We should be able to do that in Santa Cruz. There's enough caring people.
So, should we sign you up for a time?
I'll do it.
All right. Sounds good to me, Bill. This is the committee to defeat, or is it re-defeat, Bush. Madam, what are you doing here? Do you have something against our president?
Do I have something against
our president?
Our president? I have a lot against what our president is doing. I think he's removing our civil rights. In so many ways, he's placed us in a war that was a conflict he dreamed up in his own mind and doesn't have anything to do with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is a religious fanatic who attacked us, and for some reason we ended up in Iraq, and Al-Qaeda didn't have anything to do with Iraq, and those poor people in Iraq are a mess now because we're bombing them and shooting them, and my heart goes out to them.
Well, luckily the Santa Cruz City Council, though it considered a resolution asking if the U.S. get out of Iraq a year ago, withdrew that resolution and has in the last year and 4 months come up with no resolution against the war in Iraq. What's your thought about that?
I think they need to reconsider it. I think everything the city council does is heard here in the city of Santa Cruz. I think Santa Cruz deserves a council that is proactive, that takes that is thoughtful, that takes positions for human rights, and I think this is definitely a human rights position.
And also we can be pleased to hear that Representative Farr on Tuesday voted for the war appropriations bill. Apparently, the fellow at the next table, another bill, told me, after claiming he wouldn't do so. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know he did vote for the bill. What's your reaction to hearing that?
I wish he hadn't. I would expect a lot more from Sam Farr than making that decision.
Now, we've been talking with
Carol English.
And Carol, I have been suggesting that those of us who are doing the vending down here consider a longer vigil, kind of around the clock, in front of the theater to encourage not just getting Bush out of here, but ending the war in Iraq now, because there are some who, while supremely confident that Kerry is a wonderful guy, are a little bit concerned about his proposal to send more troops to Iraq.
I have a lot more faith in John Kerry's character and in how he feels about what to do next. You know, presidents step into the role, and it's like the situations create a man who steps in.
I think Kerry is full of shit, but it's not something I want to argue about particularly. What I'm concerned about is that we agree that the U.S. should get out of Iraq,
and that
maybe having a vigil to that effect might have some impact.
I would participate in such a vigil. Absolutely. I participate in peaceful activism.
Right.
And a vigil is peaceful activism.
What if the city told you that they have a law that says you cannot have a table here for more than an hour at a time, as they do?
So far, that has been a non-issue for what it is we're doing.
The minute you start a 24-hour vigil, you can bet your butt they'll be down here with the police. So what would be your response to that?
Well, then to be here would be acts of civil disobedience. I've participated in civil disobedience before, and if there's a compelling reason for me to participate in civil disobedience again, I would make that decision to do so.
And there you have it. How can folks get in touch with the Committee to Defeat George Bush? I notice you're taking a flyer that reprints a Connection article from the Connection magazine.
Yes. They can reach us by the internet address or email address at defeatbushsc@yahoo.com.
Fair enough. Anything you want to add for the folks out there?
Well, I don't know who's going to be listening to this. But
me neither.
We are a local committee. We're not making money. We're all volunteering. We're having a raffle to defeat George Bush. We're raising money locally and funneling it to the anti-Bush groups that are out there being very creative in the grassroots organizing that they're doing in order to change the administration in November. So please participate in any way that you can.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to say anything from the table? No? Okay.
Are you sure?
Carol, you say that your table, the Committee to Defeat George Bush, has in fact been challenged in terms of its First Amendment right to be present, on the premises of local businesses? Or?
That's right. We have been. There have been several local businesses where we have asked if we could set up a table, and they told us we couldn't. Although they support what we're doing, they don't want us in their backyard, and I think it's time to have us in their backyard.
What businesses are you thinking of in terms of, was it on their property or was it in front of their business?
In front of their business. And frankly, there is a Supreme Court decision that comes out of 1979 that challenges...
Pruneyard.
Right, exactly. The Pruneyard decision.
Right.
The challenge is the First Amendment right with businesses that attract people to their locations.
So, we're talking about downtown Santa Cruz, or you're talking about shopping malls?
Downtown Santa Cruz.
Well, they have absolutely no right to tell you can't be on a public sidewalk. That's for sure. I don't know where they got that idea from. There is a new law in Santa Cruz passed by Kennedy and Rotkin, which makes it illegal to have a table within 10 feet of a building.
Oh, we know that. We respect the distances.
Right, but they also have this law, which is called the Move-Along Law, which they're apparently not enforcing against you, which says you can only have a table for an hour. Now, but for a business to tell you you can't have a table in front of their business, it sounds like
they're
unaware of the law.
We decided
You didn't want to antagonize.
We could challenge that, but that's not really our business. Our business is to be where people want us to be, and where we can gather the goodwill of the folks who are coming up to us. It's like we don't want to create a hostile entity by our presence, because we've got a job to do, and our basic job is to motivate Democratic voters.
Let me just ask you, did this happen to you in multiple occasions, in multiple places, or just at one place?
Two places. One in Capitola, and one here that I'm remembering.
Which block in Santa Cruz are we talking about? I'm asking which business. Which block was it?
Not on the Garden Mall at all, but in like out on Swift Street and down on Bay Street.
And Capitola, was it in the mall? It was in the mall. You were told,
it wasn't
or no?
In the mall. It was on
the sidewalk.
Yeah, it was on the sidewalk.
I'm concerned with First Amendment rights, so that's been my concern.
I know that. We just decided, back off there, we'll find other...
One battle at a time.
We have other locations to be. Exactly, and that is not the battle we're choosing to take on at this time.
Thank you, Carol.
We're at the kiosk of the notorious Marilyn of Alfrescos, who with her redefeat Bush button. Marilyn, we're here in front of New Leaf Market, and are you finding there's more or less business due to this recently opened movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, which opened yesterday right up the street from you?
More.
And are you, is this mostly Republican Party people trying to educate themselves?
I would doubt it. I did see on the first day a number of young people, like teenagers, which I thought was really cool.
Now, you also are a person who's had a business here for, what, has it been about a year now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When actually did you open?
In May.
Of 2003. Right in the middle of the war, actually right at the end of the war. Actually kind of a bit beyond the end of the war. And you occasionally find unusual, the previous business owner had problems here in this area. They, in terms of street people and all that sort of thing, protesters. Have you had much difficulty here? I know that you've had a musical event happening every Wednesday that you seem to be actually not upset by, seem to be enjoying it. It's this group of musicians who strum along right near your kiosk illegally within the 10 feet of the fenced-off area. What do you think of all that?
I haven't had a problem, really.
What about the tearing up of your plants? I've heard that the certain vegetation decapitation has happened.
Yes, that has happened. It's been okay, and I just planted a new plant, so we'll see how that one goes. But
not to mention shoplifting. I understand you lost a significant amount of money at one point.
Yes, I did. I lost my purse.
Actually, it wasn't just you. Somebody grabbed and ran.
Took it out of the kiosk, yes.
What about the complaints in the past, a couple of years ago, where the people were spitting in other people's food, throwing rubber balls into their area, viciously hacky-sacking in public areas, and then creating a bad atmosphere? Is any of that now happening?
No.
There is the occasional weird situation that comes up?
Yeah, but I think that if you get upset and angry and you then you get a reaction and there's this whole thing that happens,
kind of,
you know, and
you fuel it.
Yeah, worldwide, you know, it's called war. So,
hence your redefeat Bush.
Try to keep calm about it. The problem, if there's a problem, you can usually make it go.
You're still making money at this business enough to pay the rent.
Yeah, I'm paying my rent.
What about characters who kind of stick tape recorders in your face in the middle of the day?
They usually ask first.
Some do, apparently. Some don't. Yes, exactly. Well, any comments on anything else you wish to make at this point?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. IWW, Industrial Workers of the World, the working class and the employing class have nothing in common. What is your name, Adam, and why are you wearing that T-shirt?
I'm wearing this T-shirt because I saw your T-shirt that said Muck George.
Now, wait a minute. You had your shirt on before you saw my T-shirt. What's going on
here? How do you know?
Well, that's my impression.
Surveillance?
Yes, actually. I'm keeping an eye on the people downtown.
Oh,
Andy,
I hope it's your third eye, darling. This
I
know
you also
Cruz.
You have a
this
fine...
This is Santa Cruz.
Yes. Well, I will say no more. Anything you want to say to our free radio audience?
Our free radio audience? Are you really free?
There you are. Thank you. And here we are, the first man with a sign I've seen in two blocks. It's about 15 to 5. Need a little help. How's it going? I see you're rolling a cigarette. And
yeah.
Any luck today?
Not really, no.
How long you been out here?
About 2.5 years.
But I mean today.
Oh, about since daylight.
You've been out here for what, at least 12 hours? Or?
Yeah, at least 12 hours, yeah.
You actually got here at 5 o'clock in the morning?
No, since about 6:30.
And what's your name?
Ray Wallace.
And Red, we're here in front of, you're slightly down from the Coffee Roasting Company, in front of what is now called Calapony. I guess it used to be the old Pacific Trading Company. How's Tricks on the street? It's a Saturday, it's sunny, it's fairly warm, pleasant.
Yeah, it feels good out here, yeah. It feels good, it's sunny, and it's warm. And then my wife is listening, Marla, come see me. I'm in Santa Cruz, and I've straightened my life out finally after all these years.
Well, you're certainly looking distinguished. You're the man with the whitest beard on the avenue.
Yes, thank you.
Should I call you Red? Is that right? What is your name again?
Ray.
I'm sorry, Ray. Well, good luck.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. We're here at the Reverend Doctor's purple-covered stand in front of Uptown Jeans. How are the spirits treating you today, Reverend Doctor?
Treating me well.
No problems from the temporal authorities?
No, they conspire, though, at the shops specifically. I'm not saying any of them. I'm not going to point any fingers right now, but they're waiting. They're waiting for the right time to hit.
No specific harassment in the last 2 or 3 days?
No.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Any other comments for Free Radio you want people to know about?
Oh, by the way, I've started a new robot voice, you know. It's just like, you know, it's sort of like a primal thing. I remember as a child sitting there in my crib, I started this new robot voice. I've been doing that out here quite a bit. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I'm feeling very mechanical myself, actually. Yeah, thank you, Doctor, Reverend Doctor, Jason P., whatever you will.
Yes, come on over.
And we're walking up here past Shoe Fetish, Image Snap, and in the Cooper House area, another Register Voters ironing board up here, and a band on O'Neill property in the largest public area remaining in Santa Cruz, plus a sketch artist off to the side here, portraiture, and numerous people sitting on the sidewalk, actually legally sitting on the sidewalk, watching and listening to this three-piece band, keyboard, sax, and snare drums. Who are you for Free Radio? What's your name?
I can't be interviewed right now because I'm still at work.
You're working.
Yeah.
So we won't say what you're working for, but you're out here just seated enjoying the day, and perhaps another time we can talk to you.
Yeah, sure.
No problems out here?
No problems yet.
Well, then, party on.
Except the pollution.
And what's happened with that?
There's a lot of cars and people are smoking everywhere.
So that is kind of a pollution problem.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
Perhaps an oxygen mask would be helpful out here.
Yeah, huh? It would be. Like in Japan.
We've been talking with...
Huh?
We've been talking with...
Tune?
I'm Robert Tune.
Nice
good luck to
you.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. And that was Tune of Urban Outfitters here at Church and Pacific Avenue, and seated on a stool in front of Urban Outfitters. Again, there don't seem to be many people downtown who are playing individual instruments. None I've seen. Or very few panhandlers. There are a few. Here's a panhandler on the front of the Rittenhouse Hole, as we call it. A man walking up and down the street with an impeach bush cardboard sign. And it looks like a police stop here in front of a telephone booth. Looks like Officer Gallegos is stopping someone, perhaps writing a citation. We're in front of La Playa, Santa Cruz, and it's about 10 to 5.
Do you know what the
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Robert, what's up?
I don't know. How's it going? What's the citation for?
Sitting.
Sitting? Where were you sitting, supposedly? Sitting on the sidewalk, eh? That's pretty serious.
Sitting
on the sidewalk. Well, I'm glad the police have got something reasonable to do here instead of...
City of Santa Cruz on Saturday afternoon, June 20... what?
6th?
Yeah. My older brother's birthday.
Sort of a birthday gift for the locals. We wouldn't want people sitting in the wrong places.
I won't digress on behalf of my older brother who died 11 years ago but spent 16, 18 years of his life paying taxes in this county, both retail as well as income taxes. Rest his soul. He understood the lack of respect that happens in this community occasionally, even when he was alive.
So you were sitting within 4 feet of a telephone, or?
Aha!
If that's illegal to sit within 4 feet. Were you warned before you...
Well, sitting, yes, not by a telephone.
Would you give an opportunity to move?
I can ask her.
I have a question, actually. Who actually owns the phone, and who licenses the phone to be here, and the legal limitation on presence around that phone originates by the corporation that allows the phone to be in this place,
it's
to be
a phony
licensed
situation.
To be here, which is actually a municipality that licenses it. It's also a corporation. Municipalities are also just corporations. They have a different context within state regulations and U.S. government.
So he's getting a $162 ticket here for a criminal sitting on the sidewalk, apparently, and he's saying,
your police department dollars at work here, $162 sitting ticket in Santa Cruz, right here.
That's what we need, more civil liberties in Santa Cruz. Luckily, we have the police to defend the right for people not to sit, after
were
all.
Are these individuals here registered to sit where they're sitting?
They
were given a certificate to allow them to permit?
They have chairs. If you bring your own chair, you can sit. If you're not within 4 feet of a phone. But so what happened?
I don't know.
What's your name?
Aaron.
And Aaron, you want to describe for us what happened?
I was sitting down, and I got a ticket.
And you were sitting within 4 feet of this phone?
Yes, I was.
And did Officer Gallegos tell you what the problem was?
Yes, he did.
Did he say you have an opportunity to move?
No.
Did he say anything else? What else did he say?
He said I was given a chance by the security people.
And did the security people approach you and talk to you about this?
Yes, they just said I can't stand on the sidewalk.
And how long ago was that?
An hour ago.
So in other words, you were warned by the security people not to sit near the telephone, yet here you are.
But they just said sit down. On the sidewalk.
They said you couldn't sit anywhere on the sidewalk.
They didn't mention the phone.
I see. So you didn't really understand what the rule was?
Yeah.
And what did Officer Gallegos tell you?
That I'm getting a ticket.
Let's take a look at that citation. There's a nice yellow citation. It says 9.50.012, sitting within 14 feet by phone. Here, let me get a shot of that ticket. And it's 1122 Pacific Avenue, and badge 195, Officer Gallegos. Today, of course, is the 26th.
I think it's Gallegos.
Gallegos, thank you.
Sitting on the sidewalk within 14 feet of a phone? 14 feet of a phone?
Actually, it's within 4 feet of a phone. The officer doesn't know the rules. It's within 14 feet of a building, so he's a little bit unclear on these issues.
You're the criminal sitter.
Yes.
Are you going to mend your ways and not sit down anymore?
Stand at all times, son. Try to salute as you stand. Remember, we're at war.
I'll do it.
Now, do you think you might have been singled out for your appearance? I see you're wearing a This Place is Weird button and a Subhumans t-shirt. Looks like a rather, shall we say, grungy outfit you have on. How would you describe your dress?
Okay.
Yes. Have you been hassled elsewhere by police in Santa Cruz?
Yes.
And in what circumstances did this happen?
They wake me up on the beach.
And when did this happen?
I can't really remember. A few days ago.
And were you ticketed or woken?
Yeah.
And you have one of those citations to show for your good work. You're whipping out another citation here. It's another yellow ticket makes its appearance. Let's take a peek at this one. This is a ticket for Aaron P.
Glines
from Seattle, apparently, for camping prohibited between 7:30 and 8:30, 6.360108. That's the sleeping ban section of the camping ordinance. Location, Cowell, near hotel, and badge number 5235, an illegible scroll.
One man crime wave, all the sitting and sleeping.
You know, you got to learn to stop sitting and stop sleeping. You know, if you know what's good for you, you'll try to follow the rules here in Santa Cruz. I hope you've learned your lesson.
I have.
Thank you. Comments? We have some passersby here. Yes. What's your name, sir?
My name is Free. Everyone knows me as Free.
The infamous Free, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you are?
Ryan.
So you know this individual, this questionable criminal that we've just been talking
about? Oh, yes. He's highly capable of sleeping on the beach and sitting on the sidewalk when he gets tired.
Capacity to commit the two crimes that he actually is accused of.
Major no-brainer here.
Now, Free, you yourself have been known for various criminal offenses as well.
Oh, no. Shall we go through the list?
Well, what's your most famous or infamous criminal transgression?
I would say the most recent one would be getting a camping ticket.
And where did you get that camping ticket?
That was in the hot spot, going up Highway 9, going down the river, you know, that where the call box is at, the first one.
When did you get that ticket?
I would say about maybe 4 or 5 days ago.
And this is inside the city limits or outside?
I believe that would be...
Was it a deputy or a SS?
It was a ranger.
A ranger came.
Yeah.
What did this ranger tell you?
Well, instead of warning me, he mentioned that there was a lot of camping going on recently, and they were there to curtail it.
And had you been camping there for a long time?
A whole 2 days.
Now, have you tried to get into a shelter, or are you... Is there a reason you were camping out there?
Oh, yes. I'm just a big city boy with a country heart. I love the wilderness, and they don't have that type of environment inside a shelter.
Are you aware also that shelters are, in fact, full at this time, and you couldn't get in even if you wanted to?
I'm very aware of that. The other thing is that I have job searches that I do all through the day, and it cuts into my time frame to get a job and be productive in life and in society.
Now, you should... That's the one who gave this man the ticket, Officer Gallegos. The man you just shook hands with, you should be ashamed of yourself. You're under arrest. In any case, if you want to challenge a camping citation, my advice is first you disqualify the referee, who would normally hear such citations. He will also hear this man's sitting ticket. She will hear it. It's a female referee. Her name is Basket, Kim Basket. She's in the basement of the county building. You have to wait about 3 or 4 weeks, because it takes that long for the ticket to get on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You go down to the basement of the county building sometime in between 8:30 and 4, and then you say under section 170.6 of the CCP, the Code of Civil Procedure, 170.6, you wish to disqualify the referee because you believe she is prejudiced. They will kick your ticket into another court, or you either Commissioner, I think actually Judge Barton or another judge will hear the ticket. Not that they're that much better, but your rights are somewhat more likely to be, either the cops won't appear, or you may get some kind of counsel. You actually won't get a counsel on an infraction ticket. These are infractions that both the sitting and sleeping offenses are. But you can be sure of getting screwed in the referee's court. That's the problem. So my advice is, if you are willing to go to court 2 or 3 times, which you may not be willing to do because it's a pain in the ass, you go to the basement once, you disqualify the referee, you go plead not guilty at the arraignment in the next court, and then you call HUF, 423 HUF, the organization I work with, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and you say, can you help me out? We don't have a lawyer, but we can advise you as to what to do.
Oh, great. Well, I thank you for all the advice and counsel in that area. It's going to be put to use very soon. And in the meantime, while I'm huffing and puffing back and forth from all my tremendous obligations with the lovely court system, I will be baking cookies for every one of them. Why? Because I love them.
There you are, a repentant criminal, and we'll see if he gets it, or somebody gets their just desserts.
Interviews from the street, June 26th, about a week and a half ago, almost about a week ago. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. I'm Robert Norris, and this is the last hour and 15 minutes of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Coming up, Civil Rights on the Streets. General jabber all around the town. You can call in if you want. Call in number here is 427 3772, and it looks like someone is. Stay with us. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, this is Valerie.
Hey, Valerie.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you so much for that interview with Robert Letterman. I thought that was really informative, and he's so articulate. And I had a question. Where did you guys meet?
Robert Letterman?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've ever met him in person. He wrote some really significant, he writes a lot, some significant commentaries that I think I read on the internet, and I then contacted him at his website or through his email.
Great.
And I think Becky Johnson arranged an interview with him, and he's been actually regularly coming on the show every 6 months to a year or so ever since.
Oh, that's great. He's really said so many important things, especially for 4th of July, about the First Amendment, and I was really, really well-informed. Being one of the people who helps with the Huff Table, I particularly needed a lot of that inspiration, and I really, really appreciated having him on today.
You're also a notorious street performer, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Working with SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, the
yeah.
tongue-twisting... the organization with a tongue-twisting name that I have trouble getting through sometimes.
Right.
So anything, what's been happening with SAFE? You were there at the last Wednesday's event, I guess. How did that go?
Well, it was quite successful. I really feel like it's getting to be kind of a gathering for peace, almost a vigil in a sense, but a musical vigil. I wanted to mention that in about 15 minutes, up in Northern California, there will be a huge circle at the Rainbow Gathering where people will ohm and have silence for peace. That is what the gathering is for, particularly is for peace. And I wanted to mention that so people who want to take that moment to take a quiet time at noon and think of sending out as much thoughts about what they visualize, what peace would be, and send out those good thoughts, and just be in a peaceful space and send those good things. So I feel like what I was doing at SAFE was really getting inspired to just inspire peace, whatever that is. Singing about things like back in the Vietnam era, they sing a lot about what peace meant to them, and bringing those songs back. And also ones that have been written in the past couple of decades. Once in a while, somebody's been inspired again to talk about a revolution of, what that means to us and how we feel like it can be threatened if people decide they want to go and fight each other and, you know, against our better judgment. And hopefully people will say, hey, what can we do about it? And I think one of the greatest things I was asking people on the table... Has it got to get worse in order for people to think about changing or fighting for their rights? And some people say, we hope not. You know, of course, we all hope not. And then somebody was saying, well, you know, this singing is really inspiring, and I'm hoping instead of things getting worse, maybe things can get inspirational. People can work towards getting together and celebrating peace and remembering our dreams, and hopefully we can... celebrate and in that way get inspired to want to change instead of things getting worse in order to inspire people to change, I hope.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I know that I kind of began canvassing people for a potential vigil against the war and also against the war on the poor, sort of a continuation of the March 2003 vigil against two wars that went on for a week, 24 hours a day. Didn't know that we could necessarily do it 24 hours, and got a few people interested, but so far not sufficient number of people have contacted me to get me to really want to go down there and do it, but who knows? I mean, I'm not sure how the lines are, whether the lines are still long at the Fahrenheit 9/11. Have you been down there recently, Valerie?
I've seen them not as big, as crowded as it was before. At the beginning, it was, you know, like, it just seemed like things were sold out right away. The tickets were sold out. I think that it's still a significant amount of people are going to see it, and everyone's, you know, passing the word around, yeah, you got to see it. So I am waiting a little bit, just thinking that I will get around to it when I get some money together, and I'm also moving downtown, and I would like to be able to just walk over and get to it. So maybe some people are waiting a little bit. I actually didn't see Bowling for Columbine until it came out in DVD, and... I feel now that I shouldn't miss out on the theater. I should check it out right away and be one of the many millions who saw it in the theater. I think that Michael Moore is a revolutionary. There are certain things that we can all say about him, I suppose, that might not agree, thinking maybe he's just a money maker or whatever, but I feel like it's nice to see someone out there that far, that noticed, saying the things he's saying, and I'm proud of him.
You know, I'm hoping if anybody's interested in, if anyone is interested in anti-war vigil, whether it be the war on the poor or the war in Iraq,
yeah,
and they want to set one up near the Del Mar for a number of hours a day. A number of people have already indicated, you've heard in the interviews probably, that they wanted to be a part of it. And these are people who are regular political activists. And I don't know, I have not called them back, so I'm not, because we haven't really begun that vigil. But if anybody is interested in this, they should give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I'd be happy to start looking at a more serious scheduling if we get enough people to do that. 423-4833. Also, Valerie, you said that the Rainbow Gathering, I guess, which began officially on the 1st, I guess it ends on the 7th, is that right?
Yes.
How do people get to it if they still want to go to it? Do you know where it is?
Well, there is... I did have the information. I don't have it right this moment that I know of.
Okay, well, maybe we can get somebody who might have it to give a call in, and yeah, I may be able to find it on the computer here.
I know it's near Likely, which is where it was 20 years ago. I was actually at that gathering.
Okay, well, I'm
going to
check on the Internet, see if I can find more specific information.
Yeah, there, it would be nice to be able to hear how things are going over there, but I don't think anyone's listening from this far away.
Right, well, unless you have a computer, you can't hear it, but you can hear it on Freak Radio. And I guess at noon, people can share a moment of silence. I doubt I'm going to be too silent. No one can shut me up. But thank you for calling in, and thanks for the information on all that stuff.
Yeah, thank you so much for all the information. I appreciate it. All right.
Bye-bye. And you now have an option to call in if you'd like. 427-3772 is the number. And while you are pondering your options, here is For Real, assuming that the tape is properly labeled, Urban Renewal on the Move from Mark Levy.
Late one Monday evening, the smoke was thick and black. The neighborhood was set ablaze by cops on the attack. Shots were flying through the flames and neighbors looked concerned as firefighters stood and watched a block of buildings burned. It was Urban Renewal with a 1980s flair. If your home's the inner city, watch your looks and watch your wear. Urban Renewal, time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. They had dirt and they had garbage, too many dogs and cats. Their children wandered naked, in their home they welcomed rats. They were loud and antisocial, they were violent and lewd. They were primitive and hostile, and they had to be subdued. So it was Urban Renewal with a 1980s flair. If your home's the inner city, watch your looks and watch your wear. Urban Renewal, time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. Their hair did not look proper. Their attitude was bad. Their radical ideas made decent people mad. We had to rout them out, you see. We had no other choice. The people here were all agreed in one disgusted voice. It was Urban Renewal with a 1980s flair. If your home's the inner city, watch your looks and what you wear. Urban Renewal, time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. Oh, but please don't call it a bomb. It was an entry device. Those weirdos wouldn't leave, even when we asked them nice. We tried water guns and tear gas just to get those kooks to move. The bomb was not a good idea, though the mayor did approve. Cause it was Urban Renewal with a 1980s flair. If your home's the inner city, watch your looks and watch your wear. urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. Yes, it was urban renewal on the move from up above. Clearing out the riffraff from the city of brotherly love. So be sure to curb your lifestyle, clean your house and fold your kids. Or you may wind up a rubble heap within the city's grids. When it's urban renewal with a 1980s flair. If your home's the inner city, watch your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. Urban renewal with a 1980s flair. If your home's the inner city, watch your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. Oh yes, a family that would not move is now removed for good. Well now, a family that did not move is now removed for good.
And the, I guess there was almost a dozen people burned to death, including infants, in that particular boondoggle isn't the word, blunder, or deliberate murder, mass murder, by the Philadelphia Police Department way back in the early 80s. We got a call. You are on Free Radio.
Well, this is John Tilking is calling in, letting you know about at least one thing that's happening in Santa Cruz today.
Go ahead.
There's going to be a appearance by an actor posing as a prisoner from Abu Ghraib prison. Going to be happening in front of the Del Mar, probably around, I don't know, late afternoon, early evening.
Is there a particular group sponsoring this?
I don't remember the exact name of the group sponsoring it, but...
I mean, you haven't got a time, like 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 5 o'clock?
No, they didn't specify what time.
Huh. If anybody knows about that, of course, that would be good, because few people want to hang out for 2 or 3 hours in front of the Del Mar. Although, you know, a vigil is a good idea, as I was saying earlier. John, now that I have you on the line, I've heard some rumors that... you are one of these sort of undercover, it's the 4th of July, so I'm kind of trying to contact all the local patriots. And my definition of patriot may be a little bit different than what the definition that, say, some other people have. But I know that out on 38th and Brommer, near where you live, there's a fence on which you can usually find posted, well, it's not really a message board, but they're usually... red, white, and blue banners, there are flags, there were a lot of flowers were put up there in honor of the 9/11 victims, support our troops kind of statements. But more recently, a sign, a little 8.5 by 11 sign with the words war crimes appeared up there. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I put up some, actually, 11 by 17 posters of said war crimes on there.
Now, you made a number of these posters, right?
Yeah, I did that partly because I wanted to try to put up my own poster instead of whoever it was that defaced the flag there with the symbol war crimes on it.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to put up my own poster instead.
So you decided to kind of, I know that there have been some flags up there, someone had written war crimes on the flag, and then there was somebody put up a sign that said, I'm a patriot, a vet, and a gardener, and please don't deface my flag, and so you were kind of
right.
Taking him seriously.
Right? Yeah, because they started covering up the war crimes on the flag.
Somebody
anyway.
Put white out on the black war crimes,
right.
Written into one of the white stripes of one of the many American flags have been posted. But
unfortunately, it seems as if they're not willing to respect, you know, different points of view.
You mean the people who put up the flags?
I imagine it may have been the people who put up the flag, but I'm not sure.
Because what happened?
Because my war crime sign kept getting ripped down. I had to put it up like twice a day.
You put up about what? You made 14 copies of the sign, or
12 copies, and then I made another dozen, but I gave up after a while because I got tired of replacing it.
So someone kept tearing. Now, I notice what's up there now is a huge peace symbol.
Yeah, there's a huge peace symbol up there. I don't know who put that up there.
It sounds like, I mean, that's been up there for at least 24 hours. That looks like the KKK hasn't arrived yet. So.
Yeah, right.
Hmm.
I noticed they took down the other two flags that were up there. That was kind of annoying.
Yeah, someone took down the flags and put up a peace symbol. And it's interesting. I mean, you know, there are some people who claim, we just had Robert Letterman on, who was talking about this being the greatest country in the world because of free speech and so forth. And don't forget that it's the leaders and not the country. But many people regard the flag as a kind of a symbol of oppression because of the fact that it flies in foreign countries over military bases and so forth. What's your feeling about that?
I don't know. I guess sometimes the flag is a misplaced sign of patriotism of some stripe or another, which may not be appropriate. But.
And often flying the flag, I tend to associate with supporting the President of the United States and the existing policy, though I guess perhaps critics on the right will use the flag when they're critical of the government, so right. I don't know.
Anyone posting a flag upside down.
Or inside out, or possibly backwards.
Yeah.
Well, so there's an event happening down in front of the Del Mar. There will be a recreation of torture, sort of for the entertainment of the populace and the education of the uneducated, in front of the Del Mar sometime as the evening draws on.
Right.
Okay. How's the human rights organization going? That's a group I know you work with that concerns itself with downtown ordinances,
yeah,
sleeping bans.
We're still going. We got a couple of responses to our flyering campaign. People sent us letters in the post office box, signing up to be members of our organization, so that was helpful.
Hmm. And how can people either join the organization or come to your meetings?
Yeah, they can come to our next meeting, which is going to be at Laurel Street Park, which is, you know, in back of the Loudon Nelson Center, anytime, 4 o'clock p.m. on Saturdays is our usual meeting time.
Mm-hmm.
And our post office box is 332 Santa Cruz 95061.
How about a phone number?
It's 425-4467.
425-4467.
I thought it was kind of interesting, too. Our post office box is right underneath the Corporate Swine post office box, which is 331.
Yeah, Corporate Swine is, of course,
CorporateSwine.net or .com or whatever it is.
Puts out a lot of kind of anti-corporate bumper stickers and other stickers.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, John.
All right.
Appreciate your calling.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
Phone lines are open, 427-3772. Give a call if you'd like. This is Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. And I did find out where the Rainbow Gathering will be, or actually is going on this year, presumably, if this internet information is correct. The site to go to is www.welcomehome.org, but I went there just by looking up Rainbow Gathering under Google. This year, the North American Rainbow Gathering, hence referred to as the Gathering, will be California, July 1st through 7th, near the town of Madeline, M-A-D-E-L-I-N-E, Madeline. Both of these towns are on Highway 395, about 140 miles north of Reno, Nevada, in the Modoc National Forest. And you go 20 miles south, and there's various instructions on how to get there. So, but again, it's north of Reno on Highway 395 in the Modoc National Forest, near the town of Madeline. And there are more details for those who want it either online, or if you're not online, you want to know where to get there, give a call to 423-HUFF and leave a response number, and I'll try to get back to you. HUFF is just a voicemail. Or call again on the air, and I'll read it more slowly. So, let's hear a little more of the interviews from the street, and then we'll get on with a little bit of updates on our friend, the Iraqi war, the ongoing, 415 billion dollar military budget supported war. I guess it's only been 85 billion this year, or it's only 20 billion a month, or I'm not sure. But in any case, it's quite affordable. It just means $3,200 for every man, woman, and child in the United States for the next 3 years. It's okay. Stay with us.
That's about 6:30. We're talking to Dan Hopkins, the ancient Dragon's Heart Dan, who ran a 8.5-month vigil initially with Sean Alimi outside the City Hall in 1996, asking for changes in the laws to criminalize poor people that sleep at night. And Dan, you have your pigeon with you on your shoulder. What's the name of this pigeon?
Miss Pidgey.
Miss Pidgey, and of course Flowers over there talking to Becky. You're down from Berkeley, and you've just been told that
Kennedy, Councilmember Scott Kennedy, is now again mayor of Santa Cruz, and your reaction?
That's the most terrible thing I could hear, is that Kennedy was being mayor again, because he was the one who said he would lead the cops in to throw the homeless out of the homeless shelter, what was called the Back 40.
Coral Street Open Air Shelter, 1995.
Right, and he always wavers on everything, you know, like he'll play a good game, and then when it really comes down to passing something, he'll go against it if it has anything to benefit the homeless, you know. And he said that he would lead the cops into the Back 40 whenever that happened, if the homeless people didn't leave.
You had some rather critical comments about him and then Mayor Rodkin about the homeless deaths that resulted after the Coral Street open-air shelter was closed by Kennedy and Rodkin in December of 1995.
Oh, yeah. Rodkin was even the worst of all of them. Any council person that ever was there was, I believe that Rodkin was the worst of all. Because he's just like really right there, you know, you can tell where he's at right away, and he's always against the homeless, he's against anything, he doesn't want to give any services, he just tries to pass a buck to the federal government or the state government, but when it comes down to the city level, I'm just looking at Becky right now, she's looking how the bird is so contented on my shoulder, Miss Pidgey. I'm sorry I changed the subject, but she was just,
you know. You do have a contented bird on your shoulder.
I know you
suggested that the homeless deaths might have been linked to the failure to allow people to stay in the open-air shelter.
Yeah, because as soon as they closed down the shelter, all kinds of homeless people died very soon thereafter, and some were killed, and some just died, you know, here and there. And that's only what we know of. The ones that had to scatter, you know, because things were getting so bad here, they went to places where it was probably snowing. I'm sure a lot of those died, too. And so it's very far-reaching, you know. And, of course, the city council will say, well, we never heard about none of that, you know. Nobody can prove that, you know. But the truth of the matter is they did die, and they did great suffering, you know. And
how many people would you estimate died?
I can't remember for sure, but I think it had to be in the teens, didn't it? At least in around 20 people, something like that, within a very short period of time, and or killed.
I don't remember the exact number, although Becky then kept better figures. But you did, you held Kennedy and Rodkin, or one of the two, maybe two, both of them perhaps, personally responsible?
Oh, yeah, because I went to a city council meeting before this ever happened when I heard they were going to do it, and I told them, if you do this, you know, kick the people out of the Back 40, then someone's surely to die, you know, and I thought maybe it'd be only one or two people, but it was quite a few more than two people. And it happened right afterwards, and, you know, of course they wouldn't take responsibility for anything like that. But that's the truth, you know. That's all I know to say right now. That's all I had to say right now.
Well, you better say no more, Dan.
Okay, all right.
Hey, take care, Flower.
It looks easy, too.
Well, it's about 15 to 8 on June 28, 2004, the day of the historic turnover of sovereignty in Iraq from the occupation authorities to the U.S. selected, non-elected government of Alawi. But that's not what we're talking about down here on the Pacific Garden Mall in front of the Downtown Informant Center, where you, sir, a known flautist who flouts the law as well, have been standing with your one foot on the rim of a planter, well, in plain sight of the officials of the Downtown Information Center, and they're not doing anything. Are you paying them off?
No, I'm not. They like my music.
Aha. Some sort of musical seduction here, eh?
No problem.
Now, what about this situation over at the Palomar?
Where's my hug?
I want you so badly. Good to see you.
Hello.
Hello.
Anything happening up at the Fish Wrap?
No, I graduated. I moved to New York City tomorrow.
There goes the Kennedy of my dreams,
yes,
man.
But we have restored the soul of the Fish Wrap, and next year it plans to take rocket ship rides.
Rotkin ship rides?
No, not rocket ship rides at all. Rocket ship rides.
Rocket ship rides. And you're not coming back. You're out of here.
I'm out of here.
All your bags are packed.
No,
you're ready to go.
All
right. That was Lauren Kennedy from the Fish Wrap Live taking off and leaving Santa Cruz. But getting back to flautism and the whole problem downtown, you have found that there seems to be a dissident element in the Palomar that doesn't like your playing.
There seems to be an individual there who objects to my playing music in front of their building.
Any time of the day or night?
It doesn't matter. The problem is that he seems to think that I'm some kind of disturbance.
And so how many times have you been, should we say, complained about?
Oh, in the past week, 3 times.
Do you know it's the same person, or you just suspect it's the same person?
No, I know it's the same person, because whenever he walks by me, he makes some snide remark like, when you're going to learn how to play that thing.
And is this an elderly gentleman, a younger man?
No, he's approximately the same age as me.
Have you suggested that he give you lessons or possibly suggestions?
After he threatened to rip the flute out of my hand and knock me over the head with it, I ceased conversation with him.
Now, did you suggest that this might be construed as assaultive behavior, a threat, in fact, an instance of disturbing the peace?
The situation is, the coffee shop across the street, which is Starbucks, always has lots of Harleys and motorcycles in front of it. And whenever they, every 15 minutes, one of them will start up and leave and cause a huge, high amount of decibels in the streets of Santa Cruz. So I assume that because there's nothing he can do about that, I'm the victim.
Do you think you are an example of displaced hostility?
Of course.
Now, let me ask you this. When have these complaints come? At different times of the day, mostly in the evening? When?
Mostly between 4 and 8 o'clock, right within legal times for me to play.
And has he ever actually discussed with you his particular concern? I mean, is he trying to sleep? Does he not like the tune? Does he have hypersensitive hearing? What's the deal?
No, I don't think that's the case. Because when I try to talk to him, he turns his head and leaves.
Now, it is not a crime if you are playing more than, well, if you don't have a display device, you can play right next to the building. But if you have, say, a cup or an open flute case, it's not a crime to play within, if you're 10 feet away from the building, as well as 10 feet away from a bench, 10 feet away from a crosswalk, 10 feet away from a telephone, 10 feet away from and so forth. But it is a crime if you're engaging in, you know, excessive noise. Are you just being polite in leaving, or are you actually committing some kind of offense that would actually have some legitimate basis to call a police officer for, and a police officer would have a legitimate basis for ticketing or at the least warning you?
I was under the assumption that I could play in one spot for an hour, which I regularly do, and then I move. I follow all rules that are written down by the Downtown Information Center and the City Council, and I always have.
So
I discussed the problem with the police department, and they say there's a noise ordinance, which is a separate law. And if that is so, I have not been informed of that separate law, and it should be in the pamphlet that is provided for street performers.
It's actually a law that says whenever the police officer wants you to move, he quotes a new law, which may or may not exist in the form that she or he describes it in. In fact, there is an excessive noise ordinance, but that means excessive noise. It is not an ordinance that says you can't perform any kind of noise or music, particularly before 10 o'clock at night. I mean, theoretically, you can perform noise after 10 o'clock at night, provided it's somewhat quieter. It's still legal to perform after 10 o'clock at night, although there's a lower standard. I mean, there's a higher standard in a certain sense, but there's a lower threshold. So, have you been harassed, or shall I say warned, under the move-along law?
No, I have not. I've not been asked to move along, but I've been told that what I'm doing is, there, if there's a complaint, that I have to move along. But I really have no way of knowing if there's a complaint either.
Well, you know, one response for those of you who are out there who are suffering the same kind of problem as, and we're talking with
Dan,
is to,
I'd like to intervene for a second. The problem with the street here is that there, the limitations on the locations that you can play, there's too many of them. And when you're cut off of another one, then you're even lessened. And I have the same problem with the bookstore. Somebody up above there, too, is out after me, doesn't want me to play. And another thing that you mentioned about the noise law, I don't consider my music noise.
Personally,
I've told the police that myself. But if I don't think anybody else does either.
Right.
Well, now, if anybody suffers, any other musician is suffering the same kind of problem as Dan here, I would encourage him to know that, in fact, a police officer cannot write you a citation himself unless he believes or she believes that you are engaging in excessive noise, and then they'll have to come to court to testify to that effect, and you can have contrary witnesses and so forth. If a citizen wishes to do that, they can, of course, make a citizen's complaint, which a police officer has the option to accept or to refuse. And if they accept it, the citizen herself or himself has to sign that citation and come to court. Also, I believe we're talking about, I'm not sure that's a misdemeanor. In the past it was, but they have a new slippery code section where they can reduce misdemeanors to infractions and so deny people both a jury trial right and the public defender appointed right. But still, if you have other people around who are enjoying your music, I would encourage both you, Dan, and anybody out there who's doing this to consider saying to the police officer, you know, I'm not engaging in excessive noise. I'm within the rules. If somebody wishes to make a criminal complaint, that would be a false complaint. And I would then make a complaint against that individual for filing a false police report. So you tell them the minute they'll file that complaint, I will file a complaint of a false police report. Thank you very much. That's my suggestion. Well, that sounds good.
I'm not saying it's foolproof or that necessarily will be accepted by the police officer, but particularly if you can document it with a person with a tape recorder or several witnesses or something in writing, then you're in better shape than you were before, and there's some pressure to at least adopt a somewhat fairer approach to the whole situation, and so forth and so on. So there you have it.
Okay, but my first recourse is diplomacy. If I could nail down this guy and talk to him, that's what I would like to do before I take any other...
Music hath charms to soothe the savage beast.
That's my life.
Thank you, Tim. We are approaching an ironing board where there's some Democratic registration going on here. How's the Democratic Party registration doing today?
Well, it's a little slow, but it's picking up.
And how many hours have you been out there doing this?
4.
And have you been at this spot?
Yes.
No hassles from the police under the infamous move-along-every-hour law?
No.
Well, excellent. And how many registrations would you estimate you've gotten today?
Oh, about 10.
And you're kind of in a position, you can't really see the Del Mar Theater from here, but perhaps you've noticed during the day whether there's been, are there still lines around Fahrenheit 9/11, or is it falling off?
There are still long lines, yeah.
Any comments for free radio you wish to put out there?
Keep it free.
Thank you. We've been talking with
Cynthia Baker.
Thanks, Cynthia. We're again in front of Borders, and we have a lone panhandler. Where did all the love go? And all I can see is $1.25 worth of love in quarters.
Well, I was spending out here earlier for an hour, and I made like $10. But then I left, and now I'm coming back, and I've been seeing her for...
Okay, we're talking with...
Alex. Well, my voice sounds like shit. I don't want to hear my voice.
Your voice is okay, but let me ask you this. Any hassles from hosts, police, or passersby?
Actually, no. I've cops, like, talk to me. Well, there's this one dude that he keeps talking to me when I'm sitting here. He's cool. He's above me.
And have you been accused of being an underage minor?
No.
You've been asked for your ID?
No.
You've been ticketed for sleeping?
No. Well, I mean, before, yeah, but not today.
And how long ago was that?
A while ago. I talked to you about it before. I got a ticket for sleeping on the beach with my boyfriend, and yeah, it sucked.
That was about a week or two ago?
Well, actually, like a month or two ago.
And they're hot on your trail?
Sure, yeah. They're after me.
Sleep police are after you with their pillows and mattresses?
Yeah, dude, they're after me.
Anything else happening around here you've noticed you wish to bring to the attention of our community?
I don't know. This guy is really crazy right here.
Really?
Yeah.
Should we certify him and take him into custody?
Some dude tried to steal my backpack today, and it was sitting over there, and he takes off, and then my friend over here, he's like, hey, is that your backpack? And I was like, I don't know, and he ran after it, and he went to the bathroom, and the dude was opening it up, and my friend went inside, and he's all, you better close that backpack up, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he took it from him, and then the cop went and talked to him, so.
Well, your backpack was retrieved. And was the backpack Was the thief taken into custody or just warned? Or?
No, he asked if I would press charges, but he was like a homeless, stupid, crazy bum. So I didn't do anything. It didn't matter. I didn't care. It was cool.
Well, Alex, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Del Mar Theater, where Fahrenheit 9/11 is still playing, but there's no long line. That's actually a short line. Folks sitting in front of the Downtown Information Center in violation of the downtown ordinances. I'm standing in front of an ironing board, actually another ironing board, another Democrats registered to vote here. Have they been registering to vote here?
Have people?
Yeah,
lots of people.
And how many today would you estimate you picked up?
25 in the past 6 hours.
And have you been told by police to move along your display device every hour?
No. Uh-uh.
Well, that's nice. Unlike some homeless people, you're being given special treatment. How about the lines for 9/11? Are they longer than, still long?
And astronomical. Huge.
Including today?
Yeah.
We're talking, of course, about Monday, which is 3 days after it opened. Actually, this is the fourth day. Any comments for our free radio listeners?
Power to the peaceful.
Hey, and we're talking with?
Justin.
Thanks, Justin. Well, we're talking with Chris the Juggler here across from,
Empty building.
The empty store on the corner of Lincoln and Pacific next to Cold Stone Creamery. You have a sign, need money for medicine, and of course poetry inside. You got numerous juggling balls. We've talked to you before. And of course your medical marijuana cards. You have a card for the county of Santa Cruz and the county of San Francisco, both with your picture on it. I guess in San Francisco you're a 15-digit number, and in Santa Cruz you're a 40.